going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive as the draft is over with. And we've taken another step of learning what this Texans team is going to look like going into the season, Clint. And to me, I think we are still, maybe not still, but at least we do have more answers to what was the number one question that we had to answer. And that is the offensive line. At the end of the year, that was the number one question on this team. And now, Clint, we have gone through free agency. We have now gone through the entirety of the draft. Rookie camp is near. OTAs is near. This thing is about to get started, Clint, as we get close to May. It is clear to me that the Texans have made a bit of a decision with their offensive line and what they felt was most needed to be changed. And I think that was more coaching than it was, we need to get improved, dude. Now, they made some changes across the offensive line, Clint. But they still have a good amount of guys that were here before. Juice Scruggs, Patterson, Titus Howard, Blake Fisher. And then, you know, now they've added some guys. But nobody that you would quote-unquote say was like a big-time addition.
Yeah.
And then they only drafted one guy from the offensive line, and that's Ursary at in the second round. So they didn't really do a ton of changes like maybe we thought they would. But it seems like for real, their thought is we can coach this thing up. You know, we've promoted Cole Popovich, we've now added Nick Cayley. This is the change that we need. And I don't know about you, Clint. We are still, I think, after the season ended, are still in a space of, I guess we're going to have to see how this works. We're going to see we're going to have to hope and see what they're able to pull off with this line.
Yeah, look, I've said it a million times, man, that the protection issues in Houston with the Texans it's layered. It's multifaceted. There's four, five, six different things that contributed to the issues that we saw as fans last year. And I only say that in a sense of hell, it ought to be an easy fix, right? It ought to be an easy fix. Your quarterback, your play caller. Sure, there's several things that need to change and should change and will change for them to get better. But Ron, it is hard with the moves that have been made. It is very, very difficult for anybody out there, and it's been done consistently since these moves were made, it is difficult right now for anybody out there to sell that Bobby Slowick and Laremy Tunsil weren't the damn problem.
And then Chris Strauss.
Well, yeah, you that's fine. Chris, if, I mean, we,
just, it, those are the three guys that, and yeah, I guess
coaching,
Green.
Coaching and Tunsil. That's. I mean, at the end of the day, coaching and mentality, right? I mean, the biggest, boldest moves that have been made when you were one of the worst quarterback protecting football teams in all of the NFL, the biggest, boldest moves that were made were you get your offensive play caller the hell up out of here, and you get your captain. $20+ million a year man,
Pro Bowler,
that does what he wants when he wants. You get his ass up out of here, and everything else is just like, hey man, we'll do more with less. Hey man, we'll get a guy that never called plays in here. We'll get a guy that's never coached O line in here. We'll get a bunch of O linemen on 1 year deals, 2 year deals. We'll draft some guys and allow them to compete right away. Hell, we'll bump Titus Howard back inside. Maybe, hell, I don't know. Maybe he'll play tackle. You know, there's. It is, and I don't say this. This is not a negative spin at all. I am absolutely here for it and down with it. But it is hard for anybody right now to not say, oh boy, coaching and mentality was viewed to be the biggest problems with this offensive line over the last handful of years, because those are the two major changes that you hope work out. By the way, because you didn't hire an offensive coordinator that's a surefire lock, stock, and barrel change. You didn't hire an O-line coach that's a surefire, lock, stock, and barrel, better offensive line coach. You'd think, and he's been good as an assistant, right? But or in a position coach, but you know, you didn't hire just proven pelts on the wall OC and O-line coach. And the guys you brought in, you didn't bring in a bunch of guys that were proven game changing type players. All you're doing is coaching and mentality. And again, if you would have asked me from the absolute jump, now this is splitting hairs because it would have been tough because they were bad physically. They were really bad physically. Mm. But I would have put neck and neck with how bad they were physically was how detrimental, you know, in terms of what was the most detrimental. Yes, they were bad physically, no doubt about it, particularly on the inside. They were bad, right? But I'm going to tell you, that mentality was as detrimental as anything. And the moves they've made, they can say whatever the hell they want. And they can push whatever they want out of that building. There is no doubt about it. Coaching and mentality were the problem over the last handful of years.
Yeah. Again, I've said this every step of the way, and now it feels like, I guess, the last thing is there could be additions added between now and camp.
But even then, for you, Ron, you're not going to look. There's nobody out there you're going to look at and go, hell yeah, that's
no,
it.
I don't think so. But to that point, as I said, there's still areas. This is just not at all what I saw as the response to we've got to get better up front. And it is really a hope that all of those things go together that can create this, and that these guys can get the most out of a Lincoln Tomlinson or can really, you know, get the most out of Titus wherever they play him.
Yeah. The thing is the layered aspect that I spoke of initially, Ron, is if C.J. Stroud plays a different brand, like commits to it the way he did his first year. And again, I'm not knocking C.J. I'm just saying if he commits to playing that boring brand of football that won him the Rookie of the Year, everybody around him's job will be significantly less difficult. None of it's easy, but less difficult. Right, and guys will make mistakes, and we'll never know about it unless you watch the film. The fans damn sure won't know about it. The stat sheet won't know about it, right? So, starts there. But boy, the mentality and the coaching better play a big part here, right?
Yeah. Can I say this is the thing, fellas, that makes me feel like the most uncomfortable about their offensive line situation is, like, as I pull it up, I've got every lineman that you would think has
you
a chance.
Some combinations going here,
and that's it. It's hard to put the puzzle together. Right? Obviously, they have a game plan, but usually, like, we could probably go through most contending teams, playoff level teams, and look at their offensive line, and like you'll know, like
you can get four of them.
All right, he's gonna go here. He's gonna hear it. Like they got a couple of guys here that you're like, all right, based off where they're drafted or how much money they make, they gotta play. But then it's like, all three of them, where are they gonna play? Because they all play the same position. That's the thing that's uneasy. Like I think Juice is gonna play center based off where he was drafted and that they moved up to go get him. But Patterson has been better, so that is weird. But then they also could play him at guard. And then I look at it, I know Titus is the highest paid player that's up there, so I know he's playing. But I think he may very well be your best tackle on the team, but I think he's got to potentially play inside. But where? Then your number one, your top guy you drafted this year, third straight year you've drafted an offensive lineman in the second round. I know two of the three for sure you moved up to get him. I'm not sure if you moved up to get Blake Fisher. I can't remember, but I know you did for Scruggs and the kid you just got this year from Minnesota. But I don't know if is he going to play guard or is he going to play tackle? Mm-hmm. Like, are we guaranteeing that one of your second round picks is going to be the swing tackle, him or Fisher? It's just, it is hard to put the pieces together. Like, is Tomlinson definitely a starter? It's hard to put the pieces together. That's what makes me a bit uneasy about this team. And to think that was the biggest problem what's in front of CJ, you know, and you're bringing in a new play caller who's never design officer call plays that has to kind of figure this thing out.
Yep. And we'll see. Look, I mean, this is, again, I know we look at it and we go, man, what the hell? Who's going to be where?
They know.
I think Howard's going to be inside, but I think he's a significantly better right tackle than he is interior offensive lineman.
But I think that the roster makes sense that he would have to be inside, right?
But that's where I was going with it. I said this 2 months ago, whenever it was that Nick Caley was hired. This is another sign that Nick Caserio is running things. I mean, Nick Caserio, and again, I'm not saying this negatively. I'm just making the point. Like, this is the New England way of, hey, man, we got 10 or 12 offensive linemen in here, and we're going to play our best five. We're going to play the best five. We're going to play the best unit. We're going to play the best five that makes sense.
Heard that.
Right? Instead of going and getting, no, this is my left guard, this is my center, this is my tackle, and starting the season that way, they are comfortable going, we got a boatload of offensive linemen, we're going to coach all these guys to do all these different things, and the best five are who we're going to put out there. That could mean your best right tackle is going to play left guard.
I cannot wait to see the combinations when this OTAs and stuff starts, and when Brandon Scott or Sean Bajani are out there and they're like, all right, here at practice, and these are the first five to come out, and they're playing here, and because I don't even know if I got a good guess on what the lineup is going to look like. It's crazy. Text line coming through. Many people believe a big issue was Bobby Slowick and how they ran the offense, and that's going to be the super change.
Dang it, Bobby.
I hope so. Again, as I've said before, I know some may not believe. I want to see C.J. Stroud at his best. I love potential greatness, and I think C.J. Stroud showed that in year one and has that, and I want to see that. And I want to see him have the ability to do so. Now, maybe it was just the coaching. Maybe that is the big massive change here to get things. We'll see that. We'll see if that is the case. I'm not certain that is something I 100% agree with, because the same damn coach was the same guy that was there the previous year, and they just said to hell with it, Like at no point ever got back to it, and that was somebody, hell, we praised the first year of, like, man, the way they were able to protect their offensive line issues throughout the year,
yeah,
and overcoming, and like the game we always went back to was, dang, man, they had Austin Deculus out there playing left tackle against the Steelers with George Fant on the other side and those pass rushers. And I remember praising them how they were able to do that. And then the very next year, like all of a sudden, man, they're just absolute complete airheads when it comes to it. And just got no damn clue with the offensive line. It just, I mean, it's just like not even a point of reference to even say, well, hell, let's go back to what we did last year. Like that, like, so I hope that is the case, because I do want to see CJ Stroud get better. But I talked to, like, Tyler, I'm going to put Tyler out there before the show. I said, Tyler, how do you, like, coming into the year, what grade would you give the Texans on their offensive line efforts during this offseason? What did you say?
C.
A C?
Yep. C.
Which I think it's fair, because I think a C is, you gotta hope to see what they're going to do. Like, I don't know what I think the confidence is maybe middle of the road, if you're being honest. Will you just look at the parts? But you just, at this point, hoping that this thing.
Well, I don't know. I'll get to a C.
Oh, you don't get to a C.
I did also add that was probably a little optimistic.
You did say, I forgot. You did say you were being optimistic. Yeah. I like the Tunzel move, because it fits to me, what they're trying to get to.
Yeah.
I think that fits and makes sense, even though he was clearly the most talented guy. It's just the follow-up has been interesting, to say the least. The follow-up of what the response to fix up for him. Just judging by this, they said our interior, like us, we thought the interior was the real issue. And they did not. Or at least they did not go after guys that would lead
you. Their actions didn't say.
Yeah. $3 million for guys. All right, so we'll see. Someone text in, Ron, relax. It's not your job to put the pieces together. Let them figure it out. Okay, well, hell, it's not your job to do it either. Your ass feels like, oh, they've got it. No, it ain't your job either. Shut up. You do. This is what you do. What we all do. We're trying to put the pieces together. Just because you don't agree with the thought of it, or you think I'm out of my damn mind because I'm looking at this like, whoa. Jesus.
Hold on, show.
Where is your $18 million left-right tackle going to play? Where is your second-round tackle you just drafted last year going to play?
Where
is your second-round tackle you just drafted this year going to play? Are they all three going to be on the field together? Can they? Where's your second-round center you move up to get 2 years ago going to play? Get out of here. Relax. Hell, you relax. I am relaxed. Coming up next.
My boy, Ron.
The story outside of the Texans with the draft. Do you believe the Shedeur Sanders situation made sense? How did zero insiders realize this was going to come to pass? We'll discuss that.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to mlb.com/play/official rules.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into the drive. The Shedeur Sanders thing, that kind of took over the draft where it just became a deal of like, all right, after day one, then at day two, and we saw other quarterbacks go, and then day three, and finally he was drafted in the fifth round, 144. Clint, did this situation make sense to you? Did it ever get to a point where it made sense to you? And your, I mean, your opinion, obviously, it's anybody's. You could jump in on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610, or YouTube and Twitch. But this was just was a weird thing. Like, nobody expected it to get to 144 and him to go behind guys like Dillon Gabriel. But did this thing make sense to you?
No, I wouldn't say make sense. No, not dropping all the way to five. But I tell you, I've talked to some people over the weekend, just some different guys in the quarterback arena, and some of the stuff that he and Deion Sanders did behind the scenes makes it make sense. Maybe not sliding all the way to five, but it makes it make sense. And we talked about it, some of it on Friday. I mean, it's none of it's like, oh boy, I just can't believe this or that happened. I think it was a. To me, what I'm understanding is it was combine, Senior Bowl, Pro Day. It was a consistent. I don't want to say disrespect, but almost like just disregard for people and teams.
I think they took it as disrespect. Yeah,
so. I'm sure they did, but I mean, I don't. It was just and when you couple that with. The reality of it is he is a quarterback who I had slated in the first round. I had slated in the first round of a quarterback week draft, and I could have seen, you and I talked about it, the only one I couldn't see sliding would have been Cam Ward, but I could see either Jackson Dart or Shedeur Sanders slide into the second round. And I think that's a combination of, hey, man, he doesn't have like that superpower arm or feet or anything like that. And so maybe even in this weak quarterback draft, he could slide to the second round. Not what we saw. So the only thing that made it make sense to me was that apparently he and Deion just overplayed their cards to the nines. And then you factor in, you know, some of the stuff that Deion said publicly about, you know, pulling an Eli Manning kind of deal. If his son didn't end up in the right spot. And you just put all of those things in one basket that is Shedeur Sanders. I could see where it would have been the worst slide we've ever seen, possibly. But again, not to the fifth round. Not to being taken by the Cleveland Browns after they took Dillon Gabriel before you. Like that still just blows my mind in a sense of. And I hear all the different talk about, well, he wasn't as talented. I agree. He would not have been the second-rated quarterback or a top-10 quarterback in anybody's opinion if it would have been a draft with Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes and all these guys in it.
He would have been behind Mitch Trubisky.
But, yeah, I just don't – I don't know. I don't know how – like, I can't get to fifth round, man. So it's hard. It's hard for me to get there as bad as it really, really was.
Text line coming through. How is Sanders any better or more accomplished than quarterback Quinn Ewers from Texas? It absolutely makes sense that he fell. I didn't expect it to go as far as it did, but he did it to himself. The way he acted in interviews and all, it's not like he's Patrick Mahomes level talent. I compare him to Teddy Bridgewater as talent.
I ain't heard that one, but that is a good one.
Good, not a fan of him or his dad. Yeah, I mean, I guess what we just learned is he got what he deserves, I guess. And hell, nothing about fair. He got what the league and the guys wanted to come to him. So
Teddy Bridgewater was a first rounder for the record.
He got it. No. Well, I mean, in that draft. But no, man, he wasn't good enough, despite any of the numbers or the things that he put together. What we saw was you can, I think what we learned, and maybe, you know, maybe it's individuals, but to me, what we learned is the one thing that you can't do, you can beat the dog S out of women. I mean, pregnant women, punching them in their stomachs. You can drive and race cars all over the place. You can have a current drug problem, drinking problem, coke, all of it. Run down, get arrested. You can do all those things. But what you can't do is in any way disrespect or show disrespect, whether it's real or not, to the brass of the decision makers. Because that is what I learned, what I saw with him, a bigger red flag than any of that other stuff. And so, guys, in the future, if you want to go in and give your best shot, you better yes sir it, no sir it, whatever you need, boss, is the route that would be best taken. Hell, even if you do all those other things, it would be the route best taken. And I think that's what we learned. The thing to me, Clint, that gets me is,
well, but to be clear, like, I mean, there's stories out there where they were walking around Senior Bowl just completely not willing to speak with and meet with teams that didn't have top five picks.
Again, like, sure, all of it. If that is a bigger red flag than
I'm not interested in that debate.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying what we learned. Those things are bigger red. That's a bigger red flag than those other things. And I think it's a learning tool for those of you who don't want to be in that situation. But I think to me, Clint, the bigger thing is that blows me away. the biggest thing that blows me away is how did zero insiders, and by the way, if you all aren't picking up on the sarcasm, I believe all of that is bull. That would be more important, that him and Tyreek Hill will both have first round grades and they end up being drafted in the same damn round. Anyway, but how did zero insiders not know about this?
No clue.
That's the part that gets me, like, right? We all knew Jalen Carter could fall, right? Like, sure. Like Jalen Carter may have been the number one player picked. We all knew the weeks leading up to it. Hey, man, he might not be number one. Like, he may drop down to 10. Could be 15 or something. We all knew that. How in the world did all the insiders, Clint, 1,500 mock drafts are done by analysts, insiders, or whatever. 93% of them had him in the first round. 100% of them had him in the second round. Right? Like, if all of those things, like you just talked about, the meetings, all of the reasons, I almost said excuses, but I'll be, all of the reasons that were given, how in the hell did the Albert Breers, all the guys who make these, how did they not know about this? How did they not know that this fall? Because 32 teams said, not once, not twice, that four and a half times. That's the part that blows it for me. How did that not get picked up? That it would drop that far down?
Got me, man.
Who are they talking to? That's what I'm saying. We catch it every year of like, hey, man, these guys aren't just making guesses. Right,
that's what I said. Like there must have been some personal, you draft my son and I'm pulling an Eli Manning on this thing.
Even
like they're like, and that's just one. I mean, but the all of it, the Senior Bowl, like there had to be to multiple guys, to multiple groups of individuals. Like, nah, man, we ain't meeting with y'all. Y'all ain't got a top five pick. We ain't got time for it. Like that kind of stuff. It had to be. I mean, that's the only thing that explains. It's the only thing that explains dropping as bad as he dropped. If it was just one round, you can blame it on whatever you want to blame it on. I mean, it didn't, whatever. Somebody doesn't like him, somebody, whatever, it doesn't matter.
But again, fifth, we're not catching any of these stories, Clint, until until during the draft.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That is the part. Text in someone, he's just not that talented to run. Of course, obviously. That's obviously it. He's not. Obvious. Second team All-American. Obviously not that talented. Got it. I don't know why people then thought he was that talented leading up to.
Well, that is
interesting. That's the part.
The interesting part is, and I haven't watched a ton this morning, and I mean, if it wasn't Rockets and Astros, I wasn't paying a lot of whole mind to it, but that is interesting now is, how many people are going to come out and go, oh, well, he just wasn't that good. Well, I'm you talked for 2-3 months to lead up to the draft, and he was top two or three quarterbacks taken. Now he falls to fifth round. Yeah, Mets.
Yeah, kick rocks. Holy S. The draft experts got something wrong. Now, they ain't never got nothing wrong by 4.5 rounds.
and 100% of mock draft.
Never got. There's never been a quarterback that was one or two for months.
And would you say 100% of all mock drafts out there had him at no later than the second?
No later than the second. 93% had him in the first. He goes in the fifth. How did no one get this information? It's wild. All right, Astros, we'll talk about their weekend, Hunter Brown over there saving lives. And did we just watch something that potentially, this is just something that the Astros are going to have to deal with moving forward. The lineup is out. We will move forward and let you know what the lineup looks like coming up today. And there's a bit of a change, and I can't wait to see what y'all think about it. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. As we continue rolling through, we will get back to the Texans drive. I got a feeling you'll have a chance to hear a little bit of that coming up in Dirty's Daily. Coming up here at 4 o'clock. So stay tuned for that as we will jump in there on the drive. I told you, man, Shadur, man, he attracts it, man.
What's that?
Every time we talk about him, just lights up.
I'm polarizing. Ain't no doubt about that.
Yeah, he is, man. I tell you, man. Hey, but hey, we'll see what happens. I bet that will continue as he moves forward. I bet you they ain't talking about Dylan Gabriel today in Cleveland.
No, ain't talking about hell. Ain't even talking about Cam Ward nowhere. He went number one overall.
Talking about him in Tennessee.
Oh, I know. I'm sorry. I just meant radio in general. Radio. Just across. I mean, we usually talk about that number one draft pick. Hell, I ain't heard one person say, "Hey, man, Clint, what you think about old Cam Ward?"
No. Yeah, that wasn't a story. All right. How you feel about the Astros this weekend as they went to Kansas City, and yesterday felt good getting out of there at least with a W. And they actually had a bit of an offensive explosion, putting up 7 runs. And when the big fella takes over, as we've said, it just completely makes the whole thing look completely different. You put runners on base in front of him, he can kill you, and he killed the Royals in that final game. But that was the first time they scored all weekend, as they lost the previous games 2-0, and Hunter Brown came in there and saved the day and became what aces do, and that was a stopper there and coming in and just really barely giving up anything. I think his scoreless streak did get broken when Bobby Witt got that RBI double. But other than that, man, he was dominant again. But overall in the weekend, Clint, it seems like this offensive thing, these offensive issues are just going to be things they're going to have to deal with throughout the year until they get some – Maybe at the deadline they get some help, but this feels like we're getting a sample size enough. Like, this ain't going to be a five run a game team.
Yeah, I mean, look, it doesn't seem like it. I mean, they've got to get this thing rolling. I'll be completely transparent here. I mean, the only Kansas City Houston game I watched was big game Hunter Brown, and so it was the better game of the bunch. But when you talk about the Astros specifically at this point right now where we're at, I'm having a real hard time, boys, of looking at it, trying to figure out what lens am I going to look at these Astros through. Because to your point, the longer they struggle, the longer they struggle, the longer they struggle, the more you start going, man, how are they going to score points? Can they consistently score runs kind of deal, yada, yada, yada. But then I look up and Jeremy Pena is, I mean, you want to talk about taking the next step. I mean, Jeremy Pena is just, is swinging the bat really well. It's convincing. The speed is beautiful. Doesn't matter where you put him in the lineup, he's producing. And we said, like, this year's, the 2025-26 Astros were going to be, a lot of the story was going to be told via Jeremy Pena and Yainer Diaz. And that damn Jeremy Pena's doing it.
It's a panty dropper.
Can he keep doing it? We'll see. But that damn Jeremy Pena's doing it.
Well, speaking of Jeremy Pena, he, Clint, the lineup is out. And they're keeping him at the top. And let me read off what the lineup is today. Let me see what you all's thoughts are. Because Jeremy Pena has moved. He had been hitting in the cleanup spot, and they gave Altuve the day off. And, yes, they erupted. He hit the ball hard multiple times, even out. He hit the ball hard over the weekend, especially yesterday. But they led to seven runs. And Clint, this is your fastest player, a guy that – that can make things happens on the bases more than I'd say anybody else in the lineup. But here it is. Pena is leading off now, Clint.
Ooh.
For a second straight day with Altuve in the lineup. Okay. So it's going Pena, Altuve in left, and they're dropping Yordan back to the DH spot in the third spot with Paredes now hitting cleanup. Walker behind him, Diaz, who went deep yesterday. That was big for him. Diaz. He's hitting sixth. Now Cam Smith back in the lineup. Dubon's at second. And then, yeah, them a big day yesterday. Oh, Chaz gets him another start in center field.
He needed it, didn't he? I wish he'd have done it on one of them other days in first two games as we get blank. But he, I'm telling you, every time I looked up yesterday, man, he's swinging that stick. He didn't need just a little old hit here or there. He needed to have one of them big, big, big days now.
Yeah, he had a bloop one. Then he got it, hit that double on the warning track. Yeah, there you go.
Come on, man.
Yeah, so he gets it. But
started the first two rallies, started both of them.
But your thoughts, everybody's thoughts here, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. What you think about Jeremy Pena in that leadoff spot now and dropping now Altuve and Yordan in the 2 and 3 spot?
I like that was it. A no-brainer for me.
Oh, no-brainer for you, huh? No-brainer for you, Tyler?
Or was that Jeremy? That's just
is that
Joe.
Jeremy? Or who was that, Joe spotted? Was that Joe? Is it no-brainer for him?
Yeah, okay, I got you. The captain, as Ron likes
himself,
to call him.
My bad. Okay. Look, I love it. I love it. I mean, y'all know. Look, I love Altuve. I absolutely love Altuve. But the leadoff home run every now and then that everybody loves so much, and we just accept it because he's great when he approaches the game that way. It drives me up a wall. If he's gonna come out of his shoes every damn time at a pit, man, go and put him down there. Go and put him down there and let him move some runners around the bag. I like the move. I like putting Pena up there, taking event, lengthening that lineup out even more with Pena at the top. I like it.
Yeah, I do too. It does like when you look at this. Doesn't it make the lineup feel deeper?
Longer, yeah, absolutely.
Like even though you're just kind of shuffling the deck a little bit, and you're putting it, but it does feel like, all right, Alvarez is dropping down, and you could see maybe more people on base back there, maybe in front of him, the way Pena's been swinging the bat. He's like, it does feel a little different, but, man, they can shuffle these cards. They can do all this. That first baseman and that catcher, boy, them two got to get it going, man. And that 169 and 189 that they're rolling with and their struggles, they have. I mean, that's where it's got to be where they pick it up. Got to be those guys. But I do like Pena in front. I do like because he's been your most consistent hitter. And Clint, you would imagine he has not had any kind of protection like this year. Like, he's been the one trying to protect Alvarez. He's been the one that's hit a little deeper now. He has Altuve and Alvarez hitting behind him, so he should see a lot of good pitches.
Yep, absolutely.
In that part. Yeah, I would say.
Breaking news from Sports Radio 610 is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
All right, according to ESPN NBA insider Sham Sharania, Jimmy Butler is expected to return tonight in Game 4 versus the Rockets. He is expected to go. He had missed Game 3 with that glute issue, in which we kind of thought he might give it a go and play with those days off. But it has just been announced that Jimmy Butler will play tonight in Game 4. So the task just got a little tougher for the Rockets tonight as they need to win this game, right? Going down 3-1, you'd obviously be coming home, but going down 3-1, they've already won a game here, so they know they can do that. But
yeah,
it's a tougher task with Jimmy Butler playing.
Much tougher, obviously. You got to get one of these, right? You got to ideally get one at their place. You got to at some point.
Yeah, because they're taking over home court. Yeah.
You know, you missed the big opportunity a couple days ago, and now. Was that Sunday or Monday, or Saturday?
Saturday night. Night. Yeah, they played. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get one, and couldn't do it without Jimmy. Maybe now you can do it with a little bit of a hobbled Jimmy.
Yeah. So Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy, that aloe gear. I don't know how much aloe paid him to wear that gear last night. You see it?
Yeah, he had it on.
That's some
hat too. Everything.
Yeah, the hat, the jacket. Everything.
Did you enjoy it?
Oh yeah, yeah. I've been on that for a minute, thinking about getting some. And
Jimmy push you over the top?
Well, I'm just thinking, damn, Jimmy, he made me go look at the website again. I mean, it's more like it's almost like Lululemon type stuff.
Yeah.
This is really what it is. I mean, he had a damn fur coat on looking thing. But yeah, boy, when they kept panning over there at him, I was like, damn, I don't know how much aloe paid you, man, but that's the best advertising they ever had. Man.
It's like I saw that guy yesterday, short sleeve hoodie at the church from Old Navy. And almost made me try to go and find some. They were out of stock, but I will.
Did you ask him if it was Old Navy?
I could tell. I know Old Navy when I see it. I could spot it.
The showman.
They got a couple of tails on their clothing, so I could spot it. But similar to the experience you had with Jimmy. Saw that man over there at the church. I said, Court, I think I'm going to have to go
That's
online and get
right
me some.
There.
That's it.
Outside Texas, right yard work, summer. Yeah, I got to get some of that lightweight gear over there.
What you got coming up?
All right, the Texans draft, man. I absolutely love it. What were your first thoughts when the draft wrapped up? And here's the deal. Texans fans, what was your favorite Texans pick? There's a lot to like here. What was your favorite pick this weekend from the Houston Texans? I got mine. I'm going to tell you who it was. I'll tell you why. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.